Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
Now then, can we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 9. Hallelujah. Message this morning is how to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 19. Finally, writes Paul, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on, as we've just heard, the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Remember that bit about the flaming arrows. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And Paul adds this, and I would add it too as I'm preaching. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. How to be strong in the Lord. Last year, I had a great group of a dozen men once a month, and we studied the incredible armor that Father God has given us so that we can be strong in the Lord. And right now, what I want to do is share some of the major points that we learned. I can't do it in full. We had now a 9 2-hour sessions. So that would mean an 18-hour gospel message right now. I hope you brought your lunch and your tea with you. No, I'm not going to do that. We're going to share a miracle. I'm going to try and condense 18 hours into approximately 35 minutes. Join the forces and you receive all you need to protect yourself from the enemy. The very moment we give our lives to Jesus, we join God's army, and he gives us his armor at that time. It was interesting last night when I made the altar call. Praise God, we had 5 people give their lives to Jesus. 5 people that very moment received the armor of God. I was excited about that. But so often, family, at that time, we don't even know there is an armor. Or if we know there's an armor, we don't know how we put it on. Okay, first of all, just a personal question. I know there are a lot of us here, we know and love the Jesus, and we have known and loved Jesus for a long time. But do you put your armor on? Another question. When do you put your armor on? Family, I've lost count of the number of people who've told me they're all right because they put their armor on. They do it every morning. If you put your armor on in the morning, it means you took it off at night. So all night long, you're open to demonic attack. Our morning prayer is quite simply this, amongst other things, while we have our quiet time, of course. Thank you, Father, for the continuous protection of your holy angels. Thank you for your arms of love wrapped around all our family, our fellowships, and our friends. And thank you that you keep us constantly clothed in your heavenly armor, robed in your righteousness, and covered over with the precious blood of Jesus. And having prayed that prayer, we step out into the day. Maybe we don't realize it, but every Christian, every one of us here, if we've given our life to the Lord Jesus, is a soldier of Christ and a soldier for Christ. And we need our armor. We can't hope to be resolute, firm, unwavering, or strong in God unless and until we're wearing every piece of armor our God and Father has supplied to us. Wearing our armor, our position in God is incredible and unbeatable. I call it the 2:14 dimension. Let me just read to you quickly the three passages that give me that clue. First of all, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. You'll notice 14 comes in the middle. Paul writes, "When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And, listen, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." Oh, I love it. Hebrews 2:14. "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death," that is the devil, "and free, F-R-E-E, those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. First, disarmed. Second, free. And then 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God, who always, that word in Greek means 24/7, always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Family, I stand here. I was listening this morning on the radio. There's a fellow named Widdowson, he does our favorite hymns. And they said it was Trinity Sunday. I suddenly realized I've been ordained 52 years today. So I had a bit of, you know, bit of experience with Jesus as our Savior, fully clothed in our armor. We have the victory. We are more than conquerors. Simply because our enemy, family, our enemy that so many Christians that I've ministered to that have come for counseling don't realize, our enemy is a depowered demon with a disarmed army. What are you afraid of? Well, Paul wrote his Ephesian letter while he was in prison. He was guarded by a Roman soldier. And seeing the soldier's armor, he takes it piece by piece and shows us what armor we have in God. First of all, there's the belt of truth. Truth. Truth is what Father shares with us in His Word. Truth is the Word of God. It was because of the belt that the soldier had freedom of movement. It went round his waist and held his armor together. And from it hung the sword. So as he walked about on his belt, he constantly, spiritually, as we do, carry with us the Word of God. We don't carry it as a Bible. We carry it in our head and in our heart. It's interesting. When men wear a belt, their trousers don't drop down. Have you noticed? Don't worry. I'm safe. Good. Good. Well, belt up. And from the belt hung his sword. When men wear a belt, their trousers don't drop down. And if they did, because they didn't wear a belt, it would affect both their modesty and their walk. You ever try to walk with your trousers around your ankles? You can trip up awful quick. In other words, our belt, family, the Word of God, keeps everything in place and saves us from embarrassment. With our belt of truth buckled, we're ready to face any enemy and do everything that God wants. And then Paul mentions the breastplate of righteousness. I think we've got it up there. There it is, this breastplate. Righteousness is a doctrinal word. Let's just have a little brief doctrine lesson. Righteousness, I was taught in college, was both imputed and imparted. Righteousness is, of course, the rightness that we have in God because of Jesus. It's Jesus' gift to us when we accept him as Lord. It's imputed, or if you like, bring it up to modern English, inputted. He puts it in us. Even when the enemy seeks to put doubt and despair in our heart, like Marion the devil. Oh, where is she? Oh, I'll have a word with her afterwards. Even when the enemy seeks to put doubt and despair in our heart, we can stand unafraid and unashamed before Father God. It's almost too good to be true, but family, it is true. And then imparted righteousness is the being in a right standing with Father God that Jesus is working in all of us right now as we cooperate with him. Our desire to be in church is part of that imparted righteousness. Our desire to read the Bible, our desire to pray regularly, all part of the impartation. It's Jesus' gift of willpower, the willpower to live above sin and conduct our lives in a God-honoring way. And then Paul says, feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Now, in Paul's day, interestingly enough, not every army wore shoes, but the Roman army was wise. They did. Jesus' birth, life, and redeeming death and resurrection is good news. Why? Because of all it secured for us, for you, for me. Father God both forgives our sins and remembers them no more. I am so pleased about that. Yeah. Boy, the trouble is, family, we remember them and we forget that God doesn't remember them. I could tell you one or two funny stories about that, but because of time, I won't. Forgive me. Maybe some other time. This is the gospel of peace which God wants us to wear and in which he wants us to walk. Someone once wrote, "We are shod so we can stand unashamed and unafraid on God's word and do his will, to be bearers of peace." If we want to go anywhere, we step out, don't we? Our feet do what we tell them. If God wants us to go somewhere, we're his feet here now. And Jesus was when he lived among us. So we've got to step out in obedience. We've got to be prepared at God's call to go anywhere and do anything that Father God desires and requires, not to cause trouble, but to bring peace. And then Paul mentions the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Oh, family, this is a doozy. The outside of the Roman shield was made of wood, and it had an inner layer of animal hide that was approximately the size of a door. It completely protected the Roman soldier. First of all, it's a shield of faith. God-given faith will protect each and every Christian in each and every situation that he or she may face. Protect you in every situation you may face. What exactly is faith? It always puzzled me. And then I suddenly saw something. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. Wow. But notice, it's forsaking all. You give up your life to be God's servant. Whatever Father tells you to do, you can do. Wherever Father tells you to go, you can go. Family, we'd been out here about 6 years, and the Lord spoke to us. It would be 1975. About 1975. Spoke to me. And he said, I want you to stop pastoring and start traveling. But he said, I don't want you to ask for invitations. I will fill your diary. Nor do I want you to ask for any money. I will keep your bank balance in the black. Now, that's an interesting call. Mind you, he did confirm it from Scripture. I wasn't going to read this. Would you like me just briefly to read this, the Scripture he gave me, if I can find it? Hang on. Come on, Hebrews, where are you? Here we go. This is it. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6 in the Amplified Bible. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, you listen to this, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Wow. You can't mistake that, can you? And I like that. In the Amplified Version, I will not, I will not, I will not. Father God says, I will not. Jesus says, I will not. The Holy Spirit says, I will not. And verse 6, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Amen. 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 Boy. Anyway, back to the story. I shared it with Alice, and Alice didn't look very happy. She said, I haven't prayed about that. I thought, well, you better go away and do something then, hadn't you? And she did. She went away and she prayed. And she came back and she said, you know, Charles, that might be quite an adventure for a couple of years. And we set out. And we did 21 years traveling around Australia and the world by faith. We know something about what I'm talking about. Faith, simply trusting in Jesus 100%. Relying on Jesus 100%. And cleaving tightly to Jesus 100%. Now, there's something very special in the shield. The inside of the protective shields was made up of layers of animal hide, tanned and sewed together so tightly they became as strong as steel. But there was, however, one snag. Over a period of time, the leather could become stiff and breakable. So, what to do? In order to keep the shield in first-class shape, there was a routine every soldier had to obey. We're soldiers of Christ, remember. Every morning, as soon as reveille went, every Roman soldier was required to perform a regular routine. He'd take a small bottle of oil, and after saturating a piece of cloth with the oil, he'd begin to rub and rub and rub the ointment into the leather part of his shield to keep it soft and supple and pliable. Now, any soldier who neglected this daily application of oil and allowed his shield to go without the necessary care was in effect inviting certain defeat, if not death. Now, family, can we apply this to our prayer life? It's only through constant, consistent prayer that we can increase our faith. So, do we rise early? I've had people say to me, I've asked them this question, well, I don't know, I like to sleep in. I said, okay, have you heard of a little thing that's on the market called an alarm clock? If you have difficulty, get an alarm clock. Set it an hour before you normally get up. Do we rise early in the morning and spend time in prayer so that both we and our loved ones are saturated daily with the oil of the Holy Spirit? Now, Father God won't force us, but if we don't, I warn you, because we have experienced it, don't be surprised if you have a killjoy day or a member of your family has a killjoy day. Where do these killjoy days come from? Oh, the lady in black. That's where they come from, the lady in black. Dirty old man Satan. One of the most dangerous weapons in ancient warfare was the flaming arrow. I told you to mark that. Outwardly, it looked harmless. But the hollow interior of the arrow was filled with flammable fluid, which upon impact would explode into a raging fire. Now, too often, family, when the enemy strikes, his attack looks unimportant or irrelevant, almost harmless. What can one of those little arrows do to me? But when those arrows strike into our hearts or emotions, they can explode, setting human passion ablaze, so that a minor issue becomes a fierce, flaming situation. Can't it, Alice? I tell you, you don't get married for 64 years without having one or two dozen, 100. It's all right. I just won't be able to have any dinner today. That doesn't matter. The helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness to protect our heart, how we feel. We have the helmet of salvation, protect our mind, how we think. I was in the church on the way, Van Nuys, California, and I'll never forget what the senior pastor, Jack Hayford, said in one of his messages. He said, "How difficult it is sometimes to understand the ways of God. However," he said, "I've discovered the best way to understand God is to stand under and look up and keep looking up as you ask God what it is you don't understand." We use our minds protected by the helmet of salvation. And then, two more. The sword of the Spirit. Now, you'll notice all the other weapons, all the other parts of the armor are not weapons, they're defense. But this is our weapon of offense. Why does Paul describe the sword of the Spirit as the word of God? Well, I was puzzled until, because I love to play with words, you know, I've always praised God that my mum, God bless her, was an English teacher. And she taught me a love of English and words and writing them and playing with them and this sort of thing. And it wasn't until I realized that God's word is God's word, but it's also the God sword. God's word is God's sword. Where did I get to? Oh, here we are. Now, the Romans used various types of swords. I'm sorry, on a Sunday morning, this is a bit sort of gooey, but never mind. There was the huge double-edged sword, a sword that could only be used by having it in two hands. That wasn't much use in a battle. We've only got two hands. And then there was the long sword, used in battle, but the trouble with that was it more often wounded the enemy than killed him. But there was another sword that was like neither of the other two. It was an exceptionally brutal weapon. It could be up to 19 inches long, but was more often shorter and shaped like a dagger rather than a sword. It was razor sharp on both edges of the blade. And then the tip of the sword was turned upwards. In fact, sometimes it was even corkscrew shaped. But it was only used, could only be used, in close contact and close combat. But the attacker could shred the inside of a victim just by pushing in the sword and twisting it round. It did incredible, if not total, damage. I'm sorry about all that, but you get some idea of just how deadly the weapon was. Now, the sword in Greek, that sword, that was called Machaira. And it's interesting that when Paul wrote, he said, the Makaira of God. He used that word, which we translate sword. Paul is telling us, Father God has given us his word, our Bible, as a weapon that is frightful to the devil and all demonic forces in close combat. The sword of the spirit family, as we face up with the devil when he tries to face up with us, and we just minister to him the word of God. That's why we've got to have it up here and in here as well as in here. We minister to him in the word of the God, in the word of God. He is scared stiff. The sword, the Makaira of the Spirit, will slash our demonic foes to shreds. And they know it. And finally, sorry, I've gone a little bit over time. Gone a lot over time. But I didn't get up on time. Pray in the Spirit. Paul finishes this section by adding, and pray in the Spirit, in our own language and in tongues, our spiritual language, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, and keep on praying. Now, Pastor Rob has a whole set of CDs on prayer. So let's leave it there for now. And if you want those CDs, they're still available, aren't they, Pastor Rob? Good. Sorry?
Online as well.
Online as well. Well, there you are. Drop a line. Remember, our armor, all we've studied, is not just for us as individuals. It's something that we as a church are to wear. And as a church must never take off at night and put on in the morning. We as individuals and as a church, 24/7, wear the armor of God. Let us individually and corporately, as a church, the family of God at Bayside, put this armor on and determine, no matter what the cost, family, to keep it on 24/7. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are so good, so special, so precious. And sometimes, Lord, we don't realize all that you have made available for us. But Lord, we're learning. We're learning week by week and bit by bit. Help us as we wear your armor to grow in our love and our service. Now, while we have our eyes closed, there may still be people here who have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. And having heard what I've shared, you might like to. You might say, this is the sort of armor that I need. This is the God I'm prepared to follow. God is love. He loves you. There's nothing frightening about our Father God, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. If there's anyone here, you haven't yet given your life to God, and you would like to, would you just like to raise your hand? Just raise your hand now. Put it right up, unashamed and unafraid. so that I can see it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Anybody else? Anybody else? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, one precious sister has given her life to Jesus. Now, sister at the back is Lacey and Shelley, and they have a Bible for you. They'd like to share one or two things with you. It won't take long. And pray for you that you can accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Amen. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.